Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going all the way with Omi today. as we talk about the Renaissance to the mid-40s and the quest for racial equality. What is that all about? And how does African American achieve equality? Do they take their own equality in their hands, or do they wait for someone to lay it down and give it to them? The Republican Party was deserted by whom and why? Which racial group deserted the Republican Party? Do you know? Yes, it was the African American who deserted the Republican Party. And as you know, they were dissatisfied. And what did the black cabinet consist of? And what were some of the problems facing African Americans? We talked a little bit about this before. There was quite a few problems facing the artists who were writing and the poets who were writing poetry. They faced many problems. They had problems such as Phyllis Wheatley thought she was exemplifying what the Caucasian wanted by talking about the experience and the life of the Caucasian, neglecting to talk about her own suffering and the disparity, and she was disillusioned, just heartbroken. And what were some of the stereotypes of the black's life that the European leaders were expecting to see in the literature? They were expecting to see downtrodden people as they expressed their literature. They were expecting to see hardship, but instead Phyllis Wheatley exemplified the love. She exemplified the pleasure and the joy, and they didn't believe she wrote the poems. So they brought her in under speculation and had many of their literate people to examine her work to see if she was truthfully telling the truth about her being the author of this work. And why did the black writers wish to have a single standard of criticism for all writing? Was there a double standard? Were African Americans viewed differently opposed to other races of people, such as Caucasian? Were they viewed more harshly, and did they have to reach higher standards? As we go on, we looked at why did the black writers wish to have all of these things examined in their work, and they wanted to be equal. And was there any interest in the blacks and the Communist Party? Yes, there was. Many blacks decided to jump ship from the Republican and become a Communist Party. Yes, they did. They saw that there were some opportunities, so they went that direction. And were there any economic gains made during this particular time? Very little, ladies and gentlemen, in the area of writing. During that time, it was very, very difficult for writers. However, they did come up through the ranks. And Zora Neale Hurston, one of my favorites, was writing during that era of time. And she was hired at one point to become a typist, but she didn't know how to type. So her mistress allowed her to be her chauffeur. Discovering later on that Zora had the ability to write narratives like no others could, Zora Neale Hurston wrote the most narratives and the screenplays. She wrote so many, in fact, she began to start researching some of her own culture, talking about black heritage. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that during the mid-40s, that was during the Roaring Twenty time, when people that were African-American that had talent and skills right up from slavery were producing for themselves, creating their own record labels, creating their own music, writing their own ballads. They were doing it for themselves with minimum education. Isn't that funny? And now here we are with all of our robust credentials and all of our alumni status that we're not creating nowhere near as many institutions as they were. Why? Does anyone know why? Why don't you call into the room so we can talk about it? Call into the room at 646-478-0270. I interrupt this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, today to introduce to you a holiday that we are going to acknowledge on this Friday. I interrupt this broadcast, and I'm in the atmosphere telling everyone this broadcast has been interrupted to infuse a program that has been specifically designed for African Americans for relationships today on poetry. Thank you so much for letting me borrow your airways at this moment. We'll come back to you right in the atmosphere to talk about creative poetry and loving poems, as well as talking about the making of relationships. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Omi's going to bring you something special today. If you don't mind, if you can allow me to interrupt this segment today, we are going to expedite the program by bringing you a version of the Talking Cure in a shorter form, as well as getting right into relationship. You know our time is short today, and our time has been cut to 30 minutes. So therefore, we're talking fast and speaking loud. So stay tuned and meet me in the air, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere as I borrow your airways.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up the floor. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will notice that this is a shorter version of our Care to Read program for meditation. We have interrupted the airwaves to bring to you a special segment just for Valentine's Day, ladies and gentlemen. So get your significant others and your loved one, bring them to the phone and snug up under the phone, but do make those digits ring tonight. We want you to call in because we want you to ask questions. As I light the candle for my mother's side of the family, I say Ashe. I light the candles for my father's side of the family, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to my mother's side of the family. Ashe. I pour libations to my father's side of the family, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east. Ashe, libation. I pour libations to the west and I say, Ashe, libation. I pour libations to the north and I say, Ashe, libation. I pour libations to the south and I say, Ashe, libation. I pour water to the ground and I say Ashe. I wash my face so that I don't greet the ancestors with a stale face, and I wash my hands. I say Ashe. I'm going to ask permission for my elders to speak. Elder, do I have permission to speak today?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much, Elder. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to take your names out of your loved ones, you can call out your heroes and sheroes as we call out the name of Robert Jenkins and say Ashe, and call out the name of Clara Jenkins and say Ashe. So be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go right into our program for this evening. As you call out your ancestors' names, to remember that on this Valentine's Day, you acknowledge your loved one. This is a time for loving and giving attention and acknowledging those you love. So make sure you acknowledge your ancestors today in a very special way. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go to the phone lines this evening. We're talking about lovemaking. What does it mean? And what does it mean to be in love? What is the significance of being in love? Is it for yourself or is it for those significant others? Let me go to the phone lines right now. Hello, you're in the atmosphere. Who am I speaking to?
Melvin again. How are you, Sherelle?
Hi, Melvin. Haven't heard from you in a while. It's good to hear your voice, Melvin. I still love you, Melvin. I'm still in love with you. When are we supposed to get married? What do you mean, Melvin?
Nah, I'm not into the married thing because I think all the marriages in the United States are fake and frauds anyway.
Melvin, you don't say. Melvin, I thought you were the kind of guy that really enjoyed relationships. This segment has been produced specifically for the African Americans, Melvin. We're talking about lovemaking and relationships. What do you say? Have you ever had any good relationships that you can share with the audience?
I think I've had my basically calling King Valentine. You know, even with marriages, I fail to see where the marriage is valid, what source of authority validates the marriage other than the state. It's not a spiritual thing. It has something to do with a concocted thing. It's all part of capitalism. Valentine's Day is a big capitalistic hoax. I mean, you know, where's the meat and potatoes of the Valentine's thing, huh?
Excuse me, Melvin. I want to beg the difference with you, Melvin. I have been in love many times, and love, being in love is great. It's a great feeling, and there's nothing wrong with being in love, and capitalism has nothing to do with being in love. Now, where's your head at these days?
My premise is this. What is love? There's a zillion definitions of love, okay? There's not one source of authority for love. Love is a whole lot of different things. What I'm basically saying is that Valentine's Day is a capitalistic tool. A lot of things associated with the so-called day, they just make money. It has nothing to do.
Melvin, can you let me insert something here, Melvin? Now listen, let me say something. Now, I don't know how long you've been in a relationship, but I've been in a relationship for over 40 years, not currently in a relationship now. However, but I do know the meaning and the feeling that it brings you, and I do know that it's very important to have somebody to share some of your outstanding events with, and I know that it's very important to find someone that you can collaborate with and find to be a helpmate. You're not looking for a helpmate in your life?
Nah, Sherelle, listen, the whole fallacy is this. You get one day to be warm-hearted, warm-fuzzies, and kind, all right? And the next 364 days, you're going to be, you know, just crapping on everybody.
Melvin, you're making me laugh, Melvin. Come on now, Melvin, you're making me blush. First of all, I'm going to put it out in the atmosphere that Omi's going to be looking for her Cupid. And I'm going to do a program to invite men in to talk to them to find out a little bit about their character as I examine getting back into the dating game again. And what about the dating game, Melvin? What do you think of the dating game? Do we still court anymore? Or how do we handle ourselves when we're getting back into the dating game?
Well, men and women, they do whatever it is they want to do. I mean, there's not one. Their formula for how you're supposed to meet somebody.
Melvin, what about courting? I mean, didn't you ever court before? You have to court before you actually start dating somebody.
I really, 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 really know that going back to the old African tradition of the elders and the village will select you a mate. And until that time, be about the business of learning your manhood and your womanhood, what you
Melvin,
have to do.
Melvin, I bet I could change your mind. I want you to put yourself in the mindset back in the 80s. Now, try to go with me here on this. We're going to take a little trip, a little journey. I'm taking you back to the 80s. Let me put some soft music on. Maybe that will get you ready. Now, we're going to go back into the 80s. This is during a time when all those dancers were out. You know the songs and the moves, and I don't have to tell you what they are, but the moves are out there and the dances, and you're out on the floor dancing. And an electric vibe comes your way. She is so strong and powerful in her vibes that just walking in the room, it makes you shiver. And you are getting tight-tongued, and you don't even know what to say to her, but you know you're definitely attracted to her. What do you do, Melvin?
Well, I guess I would walk up and introduce myself.
Would you use that voice, or would you try to get a little deeper tone?
Yeah, I am what I am. See, that's the whole thing, Sherelle. I mean, why do I got to change my character or my basic premise for this, listening to you? Do I have to be a certain way?
Melvin, come on now. Now, that little squeaky voice would go nowhere with most mature women. You'd have to get a little deeper tone and, you know, harness your voice and kind of suck it in a little bit. Let me see if you can try that. Try it. Suck it in and talk a little deeper.
I'm basically up the creek without a paddle, Sherelle.
Melvin, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you came stepping to me talking with that squeaky voice, I might wonder if something was going on with your appendices or something, or if you were tied up in some way, and I might want to try to unloose you. Loose this man and make him free or something, but you couldn't come up here talking with that little squeaky voice.
Yes, well, listen, things are what they are. I'm what I am. My stand on this whole Valentine's Day thing is a part of the capitalistic move, too.
All right, time out, Melvin. Time out, Melvin. Let me take you to another position. You're out on the floor. You're shaking it down. And all of a sudden, this foxy fine lady walks in the room. She catches your eye, and you're dancing with somebody that you really weren't attracted to. This woman takes the whole room's attention, and she's got her eyes on you, and she's watching you. What do you do, Melvin?
Well, I walk. You're looking at me. I would identify myself. Identify yourself. Let's now talk, and maybe let's see if we can get on first base with this thing.
And so where would you go to take her from first base?
Out of a noisy club. I'll ask you if she would like to go somewhere where it's quiet.
Let's take that background music out for you, Melvin, so you can think a little clearer. Now, I'm going to tell you about my first love. This might help you. I recall the time when my brothers thought that they had to go out and identify the proper man that could date me. And because I thought so highly of my brother, I let him go and select the man for me. He brought him over and all but told me that this was the man I was going to be dating. Luckily enough, I did enjoy looking at the young man. He had the appearance, and he was easy on the eyes, and I grew to enjoy being with this young man because he was my brother's best friend. And before I know it, I said, you know, he would be easy to date. But I think young women back in the older days should have had their brothers to step in to assist them, to help them with their first date, especially if they had this type of love for their sister and could watch that man to make sure that he treated her right. What do you think, Melvin?
It goes back to the African concept, Sherelle. I think that's great. I think you're supposed to do that. But more importantly, I think that people should monitor their money and not give their money to capitalism on some trumped-up
Melvin, hold on. We're not talking about capitalism here. We're trying to get some people involved. Ladies and gentlemen, please call in. We need your help here. We're dealing with relationships. How do you start them? And what does it mean to be in love? Now, Melvin has had some bitter times with love, as I can see. We're trying to help Melvin get over the hump. If you can come in and call in at 646-478-0270, this is Valentine's Day that we are working on. We have interrupted the show to bring about a special broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I did say I was in love once. I've been in love many times. Love is a great thing, and I think everybody should have it. Greet them at their door every once in a while. It's nothing wrong with falling in love, but I've always said that usually it's infatuation when you first meet someone. It is not love. You have to grow to love people. And if you say you're in love, usually it's infatuation, and you're in love with the thought of being in love. It's nothing wrong with that. Now, let me ask Melvin something. What about dating? How long do you think somebody should date before they actually develop a relationship and become involved in a courtship?
Wow, that's a good one. As long as it takes for people to have mutual agreement with each other, that's how you date. I mean, you know, dating like marriage, that should be a contractual thing. You come together on a date, you say, hey, look, you like me? Yeah, I like you. Well, let's...
Okay, Melvin, hold up here. We don't just say you like me. This is not boy meets girl. We're talking about adults. Relationships. And adult relationship doesn't necessarily mean that you have to get ready to appropriate. Sometimes you get together with people for a union because you've got money, I've got money, and we're going to become Mr. and Mr. Money, and we're going to manage our money together. Sometimes you may have a corporation that definitely attaches to my corporation to make us a complete corporation, and we find ourselves being able to operate in entrepreneurship, or it could be a contract or agreement. And I'm finding more and more that I'm more interested these days than not in a contract or agreement. At once, I thought I'd never entertain a contract or agreement, but now I see the benefit of it. Can you tell me or give me any inputs of what positive things that might be involved in a contract or agreement?
All marriages should be contractual. It should be, have nothing to do with the emotions. It's all contractual. That's what a marriage is. Corporations have JV agreements where they marry another corporation for the sole purpose of getting something done. Well, men and women meet for the sole purpose of getting something done. The woman wants something in her life. The man wants something in his life. So we mutually agree that we're going to provide these things to and for each other. It's all a contract. See, again, Cheryl, you know, my reality
well,
is...
Well, let me ask you a question. Are we the people who are the middle-class people, the only one who are not getting the benefit of it, and only those affluential people are the ones who are able to bring in that prenuptial agreement? And should we be considering, in all levels of economic status, be considering a contractual agreement so that we can write our own descriptive contract?
Well, the reality is, Cheryl, if a man and woman do not possess a living wage, a skill that gives them a living wage, we all are in economic deprivation, so that cancels out the so-called love and Cupid and all of that stuff. It's all about what you can do for me, what I can get out of you. In the end, that's why they have divorce courts. It all starts out with this facade of love. Oh, I love you, I love you. Oh, my, my sweet, my Valentine. But it ends up in a court of law where you got separation of property. It's a fiasco.
And Melvin, let me ask you a question. Would it be to the benefit that every relationship in a communal setting, if our communities, our African-American communities, decide that we're going to conduct our own marriages and we're going to do something different, we're going to reorder our marriage vow for the African-American families for the 21st century, that you go through your own churches for your endorsement, you write your own descriptive of a legal document, and you literally talk about the corporation and what you're bringing to the corporation to make it a business. Because in the end, it turns out to be a business agreement anyway. But if we did this right up front and understood that there are trial marriages, you can stay in it for 2 years, and if you do well enough to stay in it for those 2 years, then you renew it for 5 more years. And if you find that you've done well in 5 years, now maybe that 2-year trial marriage should be without siblings, no children, no appropriation during that time, because you're getting to know yourself and you're establishing the corporation. After the 2 years, then you go into the 5-year where you can have children. It should be something sequenced and set up by the African-Americans, because we are living in a different cultural environment. And guess what? I wouldn't exclude the fact that you might want to get involved in pornography. Why am I saying pornography? Help me out here, Melvin. What word do I want here? Polygamy.
Polygamy.
You want to get involved in polygamy. And if so, lay it out appropriately so it becomes a business agreement and all parties will benefit from it. For that child to have two parents and for you to have two wives, it's a beneficial agreement, I think. And after all, the black woman did create polygamy. What do you have to say about that, Melvin?
That's a great way of doing it. It really is. That's a great way. You got to have contractual agreement nowadays. All this thing about love, listen. In this new generation, they don't even produce love music. I'm not talking about the Valentine. Have you ever thought about that? The hip-hoppers, the rap, they don't produce. Name me a love song coming out of a rapper. And you're living in a rap generation. So what do they know about Valentine's Day?
Okay, Melvin, let me calm you down a little bit. I'm going to sing you a love ballad. If you agree to just quiet down a little bit, people are still singing love songs.
Something
they really
that was produced
are.
In 2000.
They really are.
Oh, there are no love ballads for the 2000 rap generation.
Okay, Melvin, listen. My world, it moves so fast today. The past, it seems so very far away. And life squeezes me so tight, I can barely breathe. Every time I try to be what someone else thought of me, I became so caught up that I was unable to achieve. But deep within my heart, oh, now, we can sing love songs to each other, but we have to understand that music is universal. It changed the hearts of men. And because of the temperament of our music today, it is so harsh, brass, noisy, and chaotic, you can't soothe the soul of the roaring beast who's upset. If there were more love songs sung, women would calm down. You could melt them in their shoes, and where they just fall apart, and whatever you say, they're there at your command. Men have got to understand this climate and chaotic noise is very hard on our ears and on our heart. It doesn't soothe us enough to make us want to be wooed by a man. A man used to try awfully hard to woo a woman. He would stand up in the window if he had to, do tricks and flips and everything else to get her to laugh, to put a smile on her face. Nowadays, a man doesn't even know what it takes to get a woman to even glimpse back at him with a smile. Give me an example of what you would do, Melvin, if you had to get someone attracted to you.
Well, that's beyond my realm, Sherelle.
What do you mean, Melvin, beyond your realm?
You get
what
someone
do you mean?
Attracted to me? They either like me or they don't.
Well, wait, it's just not that simple, Melvin. People just don't like you when they first meet you. They have to get to know you. So you got to show them another side of yourself. So how do you do that?
You be yourself. They either accept you or they don't accept you. You either like or you're not like.
Okay, Melvin, let me take you down a different road. Was in love with someone. Someone falls in love with another person while they're married, but yet this is their soulmate. He walks in and say, God sent me. He comes at the right time, and he says, let's make a union. I don't even want a marriage. I want a union. A contract agreement is all I want. You put down on paper what you want, and I'll put down on paper what I want, and we'll have a union. And whenever I don't meet those obligations, you could revisit the contract, and we can amend it. Is that something that could fly today, Melvin?
That's great. For intelligent people, of course.
So how intelligent do you have to be?
Come again?
How intelligent do you have to be? Somebody with a bachelor's degree to be able to do that, or do you have to have any sense?
Read and write and comprehend. Hey, the degree, what is the degree? You spent some time, you accumulated some stuff, all right, give me a sheepskin. Great. No.
Okay. Now look,
you
got
to have the ability to comprehend.
I got the message. Melvin, let me take you somewhere else. Now, we're going to start a special segment on relationship in this room. And as you know, being in marriage and family counseling, it is something that I do. They used to call me Dr. Ruth. And one of the things that we're going to really do a lot of in this room, and that is to talk about what do we do about relationships and how do we make them work. Now, I want to say something to you, Melvin. You're going to have to do a little bit more work to try to make yourself a little bit more presentable. Now, this thing about accept me as I am, I mean, I have some rough edges that I have to work on, too. So I'm going to go back into the dressing room and work on those rough edges. But certainly we don't want to just say she liked me as I am, because when we go out in public, we put our best foot forward and we do as much as we can to make ourselves attractive. Now, how do you feel about somebody matchmaking, finding someone for you? I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I find it very hard these days to date or to look for somebody to date. I prefer somebody brought me someone and said, here, this person may be interested in you. And matter of fact, most people, my husband was brought to me like that. And a young man said, well, this man, I think you and him should be together, and I want you to meet him. And that was great for me because I was not accustomed to going to look for someone. And it worked for over 40 years. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's great. I would love for somebody to bring me a young, fine damsel in distress that I can bring into It's my way of thinking. Yeah, that's great.
That's the one in mind, Sherelle. It stops all the hard work of trying to search and look and interview. Yeah, that's the way to go. I mean, Cupid, shoot the arrow. Come on, let's be for real. What Cupid? Where? Shooting what arrow? The only arrow that's shot is your introduction to me and your friend. Now, on that basis, if she likes me, hey, great. If I like her, there's the mutual liking there, hey, we can move forward.
Melvin, let's back up a minute. This word called likes me or he likes me, it has nothing to do with liking you. What it really has something to do with is making you feel good about yourself, and every time that person comes around, they make you feel good about yourself. And that's really what love is. If someone actually has done enough to make you feel like you're somebody, then you begin to feel like you are eligible and like you are somebody. That's the feeling that you get from love, not that they're doing anything special. You're feeling this differences in how you normally feel. We got to understand that you can love more than one person at a time, and I've done it before, but I hear people say all the time, you can only love one person. What do you believe about that?
That's a lot of emotions to be spreading amongst two, three, four people, huh? Are you going to love four people? You probably can't, but who you are, what your focus is. It's all about focus. If you got focus for two people, then maybe you can, but really, the way things are going now, a day seems like a minute, and a week seems like a day, and a month seems like a week. So
Melvin, let me ask you a question. What does that have to do with anything? Time is on your side. Now sing that little song. Time is on your side. So you have to understand that you're the keeper of time. Has nothing to do with how fast time is flying, because my, how does time fly? The main thing is that during that length of time you're together, you're enjoying yourself, you're laughing, you're making each other laugh, and you enjoy the moment. On that note, I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, with Valentine's Day coming up this Monday, enjoy the moment. Only interrupted these airways just so that you could hear what we thought about lovemaking. I enjoy being in love. I think it's the best thing in the world. And do I make for a good mate for having a good relationship because I enjoy the thought of love? I want you to go back with your significant other and show them what it means to be in love and talk about things you need to do to continue in your life and to continue with lovemaking, because we stop once we think the person is in our grips. But you can never stop. You must always find a way to challenge a better relationship and to find more ways of being creative in a relationship. Sometimes greet your spouse at a restaurant. Call them up. Tell them to meet you somewhere and act like it's a deja vu. Walk in the place and say you're looking for so-and-so, and then have them lead you to the table where it's at. Start flirting with them. Act like you are dating again, because we need to put the fly back in our lives so we can be flyer. Because you find so many people who are so